Welcome to Tarwyn Baptist Church, and if you're joining us for the first time as a visitor, then it's great, and I extend my welcome to you as well, as one of the elders of the church. It's brilliant to have you here, and looking out to a full church, I just praise God, and I love the fact that church is counterculture. That where people are saying that faith in this nation is irrelevant, that I look around and I see a absolute cross section of community throughout from the UK, and I praise God that church is not irrelevant. It is more than relevant. And as we listen this morning, as the power of the Holy Spirit tweaks and gently prods, I just pray that we, at wherever stage we are in our walk with God, whatever stage we are in life, whether we are from the youngest to the more mature, shall I say, of us, God will use us to deliver his plan, which is, just as Jesus declared in Luke, to bring freedom to those who are in captivity, to bring sight to the blind, and declare that Jesus Christ, our living Saviour, is alive and wants to do great things in this nation of ours, through us. Isn't that amazing? So praise God. So thank you and welcome. And as Pete mentioned and Phil's been mentioning this morning, we are week 8 of an amazing series which celebrates and has been a real kickstart and a reminder of the amazing work that Tearfund do. And the series has been called Living Justly. I think also from my perspective, and certainly talking with lots of other folks, is that it's also been, with this year of Jubilee, which is all about resetting priorities, resetting how we reflect upon things, resetting about how we may have lived life in the past, but actually we can start to do things differently going forward. I thank God that Tearfund have reached 50 and that they've sort of encouraged us to explore this as individuals and as a church body. So just to give us a flavour for those folks who may not have been part of this journey so far with Tearfund, Kath's going to show us a quick YouTube clip. Thank you, Kath. We won't stop. And there's some key things which keep coming to me from that every time I see that YouTube clip of we're going with Jesus where people need us. Isn't that great? I love that. I've paraphrased. But isn't that great that we're actually journeying with Jesus and he's going to take us this week to people who need him through us. I think that's great. So thank you, Kath, for showing that. This series for me, and I know when I've talked to other folks about it, has been very thought-provoking and challenging and inspiring. Inspiring us to think about living life differently and living a life that lives justly. Looking at that video and just thinking about what's happening even on our doorsteps here in Tawyn, in the towns that you are living in our nation and in the wider world, I absolutely I really believe, personally, that this series is acting as a catalyst to take us as individuals and the wider church community, just as it says in that YouTube clip, on a journey to create change through the love of Jesus Christ. By not accepting that the status quo is okay. I'm not sure, personally, I'm not sure where the destination that this series is going to take me, the church as a wider body. I don't even know what it's going to look like. But when I thought about that sentence I've just read out, Jesus brought me back to Mark's gospel. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. We'll start actually 16, 17 and 18. Jesus says, one day, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation. This is Mark 1. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. I just feel that this is kind of this series is a real opportunity for the Christian church, followers of Jesus Christ, to kind of throw down our nets on situations and circumstances that we have encountered for maybe a number of years, whether that's through the media, through what we've seen in our own towns, or the relationships or circumstances that we've encountered in our lives and our families and our other relationships. I just feel that as we reset, Jesus is going to take us on an amazing journey where we're going to see some fantastic miracles. And miracles are for now, not just for 2,000 odd years ago. Miracles are for now. We're going to create change and transform lives through the power of Jesus' love. And that's the key. Through the power of Jesus' love. As you can hear and possibly see from my animation and my address this morning, this series has really struck a chord with me. And I'm sure it will have struck a similar chord for each one of us. Some key takeaways from this series for me over the last 8 weeks. A key one for me has been the need to move from charity to advocacy. And I'm going to use a word, and Pete will describe, give us a bit more of an explanation of this word. A move from charity to advocacy of our ethnies. I get a real sense that there's an urgency from God as part of this, is to start acting rather than just giving. Now, giving is important, but acting rather than giving or just talking about it. I would really encourage you, if you are visiting us today and you haven't been part of this series with us, then I'd encourage you to listen to the podcasts on our website, www.towinbaptistchurch.org.uk. This has been a really powerful series, and I really believe that there's something powerful through this Jubilee of Tear Fund that can happen through the power of Jesus Christ's love working through his believers. Okay, so on to today. The title is, if you could have the PowerPoint up, please, is Justice and Relationships. Authentic relationships are at the heart of justice. So some things that, as we listen and maybe review some of the words that come up on the screen, is there's a... I'd really like you to take away from today the... Starting the understanding of what an authentic relationship can enable us to do and enable justice to happen. Okay, so quick pause. We're going to read Matthew 25, verses 31-46, and Ian is going to read that. And while we do this, there's going to be this statement is up on the screen. Now, I know I struggle at times, folks, to multitask. You ask my wife, she'll say, give him one job and he's fine. Give him two or three and only they'll all get half done. But I'm going to encourage you to listen into the words of this well-known piece of scripture that Jesus is talking to us through the Bible, but also listen, have a reflect upon those words up on the screen. Okay? Thanks, Ian.
This is Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
So there you are, Jesus sort of declaring what's important. That if we do it for someone, then we're actually doing it for him. So there's an action. He's calling us to act. He's calling us to do something. Not just to be, not just to say or be distant about it, but to be really getting into the nitty-gritty and to get down and get dirty with these people. To wash people's feet. To get connected with them. This was the first time that I've, as I studied and prepared for today, this was the first time I've ever come across this guy, Shane Claiborne. He's quite a guy. And this quote, this statement, is quite incredible. As I read it and read it and reread it, I could probably do, you know, there's so many things that you can grab out of there and take into and start thinking and reflecting upon. I recognise that time is tight this morning, and to be able to sort of break down this and into minute detail is something that I really would encourage you to do. So just a quick thought, and I know this is kind of a little bit different and a bit random, but I do a lot with work. I'm at lots of conferences and seminars and things like that, and when someone puts something good up on the screen, I'll make sure that I get my iPhone out and I take a photo of it. So this is going to stay up for this morning. Don't leave here without maybe taking a photograph of it. Because I really believe that there are some key things in that statement that if we can just start to take control of and start to act out. Thank you, Pete. There you are. Then actually we can start to create change. So, like I say, as I reflect personally on this quote, I'm going to just share a couple of things that bounced out to me. So there's this call for action, just like Jesus says in Matthew 25. We need to do something. So in this statement, from which has been written by Shane Claiborne, moving beyond charity and towards justice and solidarity with poor and oppressed, as Jesus did, will get you into trouble. Hey, didn't it get Jesus into trouble? I'm sure that there are times when we have had our fingers burnt because we've done something and we've thought, oh, yes, this is the right thing to do. And then suddenly, you know, it comes back to bite you. But at least you acted. And at least then there's an opportunity to sort of reflect upon that. The second statement is, we start to ask why people are poor. This is a key thing. We start to ask why people are poor, which is never as popular as giving to charity. Ouch. You ask someone, why are you poor? Or you ask someone in power, why is there poverty? There'll be lots of spin around it. There'll be lots. But actually, it's until we get to the detail that things can't change. It's until we started to peel off those layers that things can't change. And just as a quick aside, folks, we have people who are part of this congregation who regularly visit, who are actively connected to either organizations or individually, are stepping into the place of getting into trouble because of asking that question, why? They're asking that question, why are people poor? Why are people homeless? Why is there slavery? Why is there asylum seekers? Why is there human trafficking? And those are people who regularly come and visit us as a church body here. And I'm sure that even in your home churches, there are people who actually are doing that. You may be doing it yourselves. The two organisations that I've just immediately spring to mind who are regularly part of our church here are a guy called Erwin Buchanan, a lovely, godly man who's the dad of Joy Hooper. Joy's looking after the kids this morning. And he, in his own way, and I believe it's down in Brighton, is involved in housing under 18 asylum seekers. Isn't that great? We should be praying for Erwin. Erwin Buchanan. There's another guy, very unassuming, and he's a great mate of mine, who runs an amazing charity and organisation, who really nails its colours to the mast about advocating for the poor, getting into trouble, because he won't accept that people are poor. He won't accept that people are, that we allow, and governments allow, humans to be trafficked, modern slavery to be allowed. And pray for this organisation, which is an organisation called Jericho, and the chief exec is a guy called Richard Beard. Make a note of those names. Erwin Buchanan, Richard Beard. Pray for them, because these guys are doing this. And there may be other people in the congregation this morning who are doing it in their own way. And I apologise if I've missed your name. But those are two guys that have, Jesus, has, that through the Holy Spirit this morning, has brung to mind. So I know that we've got limited time this morning. And even when I was writing this talk, I got a real sense of urgency, that urgency is needed to start acting upon this. Now, I'm a bit of an activator. In my business life and in home, come on, let's go, let's do this. So I really feel that maybe that's something that God is placing upon my heart to stir us up through this talk today. So I'm going to fast forward through lots of all this thing, of this statement. I'm going to fast forward to one key thing that will enable us to start asking those unpopular questions. And that is being in an authentic relationship. An authentic relationship with our ethnies. Pete, you brought a message on week two of this series. It's on our podcast. It's a really important message. Pete talked about our mission in the world, and he brought to us a new word called ethnies. Would you mind just giving us a bit of an overview of what an ethne is, or who an ethne is?
Yeah, I can try.
Okay. Thank you.
Back in week two, that was one of the weeks that I was given for this particular series. The main focus passage for that morning was the Great Commission. I talked about a gentleman called Donald McGavran, who was working as a missionary in India. He had a big influence on mission, Donald McGavran, wrote a book on it. And he was out there in India. His work was struggling. He was reflecting on the verse that says, go out into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. And one of the things that really struck him, that really God brought to him, was that there had been a mistranslation of the word that we know as nations, and it had led a lot of people to thinking that missionary work should only go on overseas. Now, of course, and it's very important to say this, that it is absolutely vital that missionary work goes on overseas, and it is an amazing and truly amazing work. In fact, Donald McGavran was there in India doing missionary work overseas, so let's say that, absolutely. But the word that we have come to know in English as nations should have really been translated as the word ethnies. Ethnies, you can guess really where that's going. It's about people groups. So it was go into your people groups and be salt and light. Preach the gospel. And of course, how do we know what our people groups are? Well, the Lord has already led us into various things. He's given us different interests. He's given us passions. He's given us people that we build relationships with. This thing about ethnies, this particular series isn't the first time. Those of you who have been here a little while will know I've been rattling on about ethnies for a long time and about getting involved in things that are not run by the church. So often you find that Christians meet others who are very much in the same circle. Now, there's lots of things going on within the church that it's good to be involved in, but we're always encouraging. And we've had a very, well, there's always been this ethos, really, here for Christians to get involved in things that are not run by other Christians. And there's lots of that going on. Identifying your people groups. Well, it might be that you're involved in the Tallaght Railway, or you're a golfer, or you're involved in management training consultancy, or you're, could be all sorts of things, couldn't it? And it's about asking God to help you in within those groups be a light for him, to help lead others to him, to help build bridges with people that Jesus can walk across. There might be some folks that don't know what their ethnicity is or are asking God for a fresh revelation of that. Well, I would encourage you, and again, this is something that we've talked about here, well, for a long, long time now, really, is widen your horizon, widen your perspective. Get the local newspaper. Have a look in the national newspaper. Have a look at what you're pointing at and saying, somebody should do something about that. Well, often we're the answer to our own prayer, aren't we? And it was that type of thing. What people groups are we involved in? Where has God placed us? See that everybody is a missionary right where they are. And that's an important thing. You are now entering the mission field, it says above that door over there. And that is a really important mindset that we want to encourage here in this church. And that is that whilst missionary work overseas is a wonderful and a fantastic and a very necessary calling, and it's inspirational, that we are all missionaries. We had that little slightly humorous illustration about the church with the missionary board and about go out and be daring, get your picture and you put it on there as well, okay? And don't forget that whether you're involved in local work, you're within your own family, within your own neighborhood, and within groups that have got common interests, that those are the ethnies, those are the people groups that God's put you into. Go out into the world, go out into all ethnies and be an advocate for Jesus. That was the idea.
Thank you. And a much clearer description of it than I would have given. So thank you. So going back to that is, in order to create an authentic relationship, we kind of need to be able to be authentic ourselves in that relationship. To be authentic in a relationship, one has to be able to represent your true nature and your beliefs. Be true to yourself and to the person identified. So the person that you're wanting to be in relationship with. The ethnies that you want to build a relationship with. This is all a fundamental foundational part of being able to get to that point of asking why. It's that process that through this statement, when we start to move beyond charity, when we start to really get into being in a place of authenticity, which means solidarity, which means that we're getting close to the situation, that then we can start to ask that challenging question. And folks, I work in management training and consultancy, and they always say, don't ever ask why. Don't ever ask why, because why is a confrontational question. And it is. And it is. However, it's only confrontational if you're not in relationship with that person. And actually, when you ask the question why, then you start to get into the reasons The reasons why someone is poor, the reason why there is poverty, the reason why there is homelessness, the reason why there is human trafficking, the reason why that there are people leaving by their droves nations which are in torment and turmoil. But I just want to be very clear about this. To enable us to speed this process up, to start the process, get the ball rolling, to hit the ground running, let's focus on our ethnies now. Let's focus on where we can have that impact, where we can start to ask that question. But I'll, just as a bit of a word of warning, something is also to be clear about with regards to authentic relationships. We will not be able to have an authentic relationship with everyone. And folks, that's okay. That is okay. When those things maybe have gone wrong in the past and you've tried to do the right thing and it hasn't worked, maybe it wasn't because of that it wasn't your moment, wasn't your place, wasn't your ethnicity that enabled that to happen. I know that this is kind of a bit of, well, Jesus went everywhere and he was with everybody. Jesus encountered problems. He left his hometown because he wasn't able to do the miracles there. But he went out and found the people where he could impact. So I'd encourage you, don't worry if you can't build authentic relationships with everybody. Believe me, I'm building a authentic relationship with my wife, and I just think I'm going to get there. And then, no, there's a few shaking heads I can hear. My wife, she's out the back, so hopefully she won't listen to the podcast. If not, someone will edit it. Okay, so I just want to quickly move on. I appreciate time is against us. But there is a sense of urgency here. And my underlying message here today is, if there's a sense of urgency to be able to start asking those questions, draw a circle around your immediate sphere of influence and say, right, okay, how can I start asking questions of people that might start to create change? How can I start to get under the skin of someone who is experiencing some difficulties so that I can have that authentic relationship that Jesus wants us to have? I'm going to read a quick story from the notes that Tiafund have shared with us, and then we'll close. And this is about relationship and the relationships being the foundation of justice, and it's by a lady called Sunia Gibbs. It's on the internet, you can read it and take it away as something to reflect upon. Where I live and work, I can't walk very far without seeing or passing someone who is homeless. When I first moved into the city, there were mornings I would walk out of my front door and I would find one or two individuals taking shelter on the porch to avoid the rain or sleeping off a hard night. In the beginning, I wanted to give and share with every single person. Isn't that the case? We all, you know, we want to do stuff. I handed out sleeping pads and blankets, shared food, prayed and offered advice. But the longer I lived in the city, the more I gave, and the more frequently I heard a knock on my door, the more I became tired and numb. The need was never ending, but my compassion was not. I felt used. I worried about how much I could give without compromising my children, our home, and I didn't really know if anything I was doing even mattered. I was disillusioned and disappointed. To endure in the work of justice, we must determinedly walk through the wastelands produced by greed, lust, and loss,
and not run away when overwhelmed with disparity. The anecdote for quitting or disillusionment is not simply greater zeal, but increased love and compassion that comes from the Spirit of God living in each one of us. Every relationship, from our immediate family to the stranger we care for, ought to be founded, directed, and empowered by love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, Paul tells us that if we give everything to the poor or even become martyrs, but do not have love, there is no benefit. There is an important reminder for those who dedicate their lives to the work of justice. This is an important reminder for those who dedicate their lives to the work of justice. The just life we are called to live cannot ignore the needs of our spouses or children or closest friends. At the same time, the just life we are called to live cannot ignore the needs of our brothers and sisters on the street or around the world because their burden is ours. Jesus demonstrated solidarity we ought to have in Matthew 25:40, when he said, "Whatever was done to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." These words brought encouragement to the disciples who were being sent into the world. They would remember that whatever was being done to them was felt and known by Jesus, their brother, saviour and friend. As the body of Christ, we are aware of the pain in other parts of the body. How can we act? Speak in solidarity with one another, just like Christ does for each of us. Love for God and love for neighbour empower and eradicate the distance between every human being. When we begin to truly comprehend that the Word became flesh and walked with us, John 1 verse 14, we will have a deeper understanding of humility, self-sacrificing love. Think of it. The one who is divine and holy put on frail humanity and made his home with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Who are we? If we ignore or avoid the invulnerable around us, how can we be motivated to act with them for deliverance? If our eyes only see people exactly like us, if we just work really hard in order to purchase shiny new objects, or if all our energy is spent striving for higher positions or power or fame, we have given into the values of the world around us instead of becoming more and more responsive to the Spirit of God, who reminds us of our abundance and compels us to go deeper and generously into our communities. Jesus lived with the poor. He saw them and was moved with compassion and met their needs. Are we empowered and free to do the same? In John 3:16-18, it encourages us in this way. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Folks, we demonstrate our love through our authentic relationships with one another. And this love must be more than words we speak, but also the actions we take to relieve one another's burdens. It is the only way our love can be sincere. It is the way in which we prove we know God's love. It is not in how many verses we've memorized or in keeping with our religious rituals, but in how we love one another. May our relationships, our authentic relationships with one another, radiate and demonstrate the abundant and generous love of God. May we have the courage and empowerment to live justly with and towards one another. In that narrative by Sunia Gibbs, these are examples of what is a foundational element of any relationship, and that is love. The love that we read in Matthew 22, 36, 39, which Jesus tells us to love your neighbour as yourself. The Gospels are filled with demonstrations of Jesus loving his ethnies. We have so many examples to follow. There's just three. Zacchaeus, the blind man on the road, and Jesus. Folks, this is the challenge. This is the call for action. This is us getting into authentic relationships with Jesus by following his example. This week, and as we go forward, as individuals in our journey with Christ, and as a corporate body of a church, I wonder what would happen if, by following his example, by applying love in those relationships that we're going to be, we are in and going to encounter, and we apply Jesus' teaching of love, I wonder what will happen this week when we look out and find a Zacchaeus to have tea with. We've all got a Zacchaeus to have tea with this week within our people groups. I wonder, as we are walking through this week and over the coming moments, just as it says in Matthew 22, Jesus stopped. He stopped for a moment. He quietened the crowd so that two blind men shouting from the side of the street could be heard and could be healed. I wonder if we go out and look for our legion this week and face them face to face and talk to them, clothe them and spend time with them. What is the story that they're going to take home to their families because of that authentic relationship? And we know that from Legion's story, he went home and he transformed because he was transformed. What a difference by applying those three examples and Jesus' love being worked through us that we can make to our ethnies. In conclusion, as I mentioned earlier, I really feel that there's a sense of urgency. Maybe that's just me. Maybe just God's giving me a kick up the backside. Sorry, am I allowed to say that in church? I think so. Maybe God's just doing that with me, but I don't know. Maybe there's other folks here in this room who are getting this real sense of urgency that we need to start doing something. We need to start putting into action this series. God is really talking to us this day. I mentioned it earlier. Our ethnies are here, right now. Our ethnies are in our hometowns, are in our sphere of influence and our people groups. So I encourage you, with regards to that authentic relationship that will enable us to get closer, move toward that justice, to start being friends with people in struggle, so that we can start to ask that question, why? Look for those situations this week. Build that authentic relationship. And then that will enable you to ask that question why and see and create and be a catalyst for change, because Jesus Christ is your Saviour and his love is pouring out of each and one of us. Amen. I'm going to end in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this series. I thank you that there's a stirring in me, and I thank you that there's a clear message of acting. Lord, I pray for each one of us this week through the relationships that we already have, that you allow us, you'll give us the words, you'll give us that the dwelling of the Holy Spirit within us, to have the words and the questions and the openness and the vulnerability to be us, to be you, and to build those authentic relationships that will create change. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.